and your doggy,
and I love you,
and you know that I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Talk, Smart Animal Talk, not just Animal Talk, Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf. And with me today is a very special guest. He's been on PBS lately, and we've been watching him on TV doing amazing things for shelters. And, well, welcome to the show, David Latham. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Deb. I'm happy to be here.
Well, okay, so you've got this new PBS series, Shelter Me. What's that about?
So we're trying to tell the great stories of our animal shelters. We want to get people to go to their local shelter. So the foundation of the project, Shelter Me, is to tell the positive stories, the inspiring stories, and the real stories of what's happening at our shelters and why these beautiful animals deserve a second chance.
Nice. You know, I think a lot of times people don't really understand what's going on with shelters. They seem to think it's all bad dogs, big dogs, dogs who bite. What do you think people are misunderstanding?
Well, number one, I hear this all the time from people. People come up to me and say, you know, the best dog or the best cat I ever got was from the shelter. I mean, so there's something going on, and there's good things going on. I do think there is a misperception about our public shelters. A lot of people, as you said, they feel that, you know, animals there might be damaged goods or did something wrong to end up there. You know, there's a perception that our shelters are the dog pounds and the people that work there are the dog catcher. I'm happy to say I've been in shelters across the country and everything I just said is false. the shelters are these very joyful places. They're full of animals that are ready right now to go to your home. People don't realize that a lot of the animals that are in the shelters are owner surrenders, meaning they're people who've literally turned in their family pets for myriad reasons, whether they're moving, you know, whether they've lost their job, they can't afford the pet, whatever the reason might be. A lot of people turn in animals because they have a new baby and they don't have time for the pet.
That's terrible. But it's true.
It is.
And sometimes it's something they can't avoid. Their house got taken from them. They lost their job. They got ill. The person who owned the dog died. Like, sometimes there's some reasons where they just have no choice, but the dog did nothing wrong. Nothing.
Absolutely. And that's the part of the story of the shelters that people don't realize, is that these are animals who lived in homes before, and they're just as confused about why they're in a shelter now. The day before, they were sleeping on someone's bed, and now they're in a shelter. So this is what we need to tell people about, that you can go to the shelter, you can get any breed you want, you can get puppies, you can get adult dogs,
well,
or housebroken.
Okay, what you just said, any breed you want. People do not realize that. I have standard poodles and golden doodles and hypoallergenic dogs that I breed, and oftentimes I'll get a call from someone who doesn't want to raise a puppy. And I tell them, you know, there are so many of every kind of dog in the world out there, adult version, well-trained, not going to soil on your carpets, not going to bark incessantly. Someone else already did the grunt work. But there's a dog out there of every kind of breed waiting for you. You just have to find him. And it's easy nowadays, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I was just in the shelter in Los Angeles 2 days ago, and there were anything you wanted, from German Shepherds to Shar Pei's to Poodles to Shih Tzus. I mean, it was a potpourri of beautiful, loving animals that we were just playing with, and we were actually taking photos and videos and making profiles for ShelterMe.com to actually help these animals get adopted.
We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to go back to this idea of who ends up in a shelter, because I think a lot of times people surrender their dog because, well, maybe it's aggressive. That would be a good reason. Another reason might be it goes to the bathroom in the house. Another reason might be it barks a lot. These are the top three, and doesn't listen. So all these things are training problems, and it's very easy to train any dog to come stay, sit, heel, and not go to the bathroom in the house. So really, it's about time. That's
well, it is. I mean, you know, when you adopt and you decide to get an animal to become part of your family, I mean, that's part of the responsibility. You know, no animal is just insta-pet where you just, you know, just add water. You know, a big part of this is the bonding. I mean, the training, and the animal is just looking at you to like, okay, Deb, tell me what you'd like me to do.
Yeah. What are your expectations?
And they're just ready
to
soak it in.
Exactly. The animal wants to know, what are your rules? What do you expect from me? And I'll try and give it to you. Let's make a deal here. And I think that people have this idea that if they have a puppy and it comes from a breeder at 6 weeks or 8 weeks and they get to take all those pictures and first foods, first baby teeth, teething, all this sort of stuff, that that dog will love them more than a dog they rescue. And I hate to tell you all this, but it's absolutely the reverse. The dog who's never known a sad day in its life, never known loneliness, never known hunger, always had everything on a silver spoon, is not going to love you the same way as the dog who went without. They're just not. The dog who went without and then you rescued him, the sun rises and sets on your head. That dog will pay you back every day of its life. It's,
well, they
it's
know.
Off
I mean,
the
they
scale
absolutely know
gratitude.
Yeah, they know when they've been saved. I mean, there's always, you know, when a dog gets their exit photo as they're getting in the car and they're going home, you always see this big grin on the dog's face, and they let out at the end of that night, they'll let out this exhale, and they know they're safe. And there is a knowledge there that will always be remembered about, you know, who saved my life, and it's a joy that that we need to replicate over and over again across this country.
Well, shelter pets are good pets, but there are going to be mixes. There's going to be some in there that are harder to handle and some in there that are easy to handle. But the thing is, when you go to a shelter and you look at a grown pet, an adult, you're seeing what you get. There is no guesswork. If you take it for a walk and it walks well for you, then you know you can handle it. Everything is there for you to just experience. You just need to talk to the volunteers there because they know the dogs. Let them help you figure out which is the right one for you. But there's going to be a dog there that's going to fit you like a glove. So it's worth it. And, you know, we're kind of talking only about dogs, but I'm guessing your shelters have cats too, right?
Yeah, in fact, the situation shelters, there's more cats than dogs at the shelter, and there's really a crisis because we need there's a problem with overpopulation, there's a problem with not enough people going to the shelter, so we really need to address this problem by trying to keep animals out of the shelter and also increase the adoptions, but absolutely they're unbelievable cats, and we have just amazing success stories across the country, again, of people finding their perfect pet. But shelters also have other animals. They have reptiles. They have guinea pigs. They have rabbits. I mean, the public shelter, you know, that part of their mission is they have to take in every animal that's either surrendered to them or strays that they go and pick up. So the public shelter is really what I try to really draw attention to because they have demands on them that a lot of other entities do not. And
we're talking to Dave Latham here today. We're talking to David Latham here today on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're coming back to find out more about ShelterMe.tv and ShelterMe.com, because David's not just talking about shelters, he's making a huge difference. Steven's not just talking about shelters, he's making a huge difference. So stay tuned and listen up. Find out how you can help.
Anytime you're near, I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Plus Pet Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Stephen Latham, and you can check him out at shelterme.com. We're talking about shelters because Stephen does more than just adopt a pet or two at a shelter or visit them or say nice things about them. He is trying to make a huge difference for shelters, and he's using television to do it. So let's talk about that, Stephen, please.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this TV series. You know, I've been working with PBS for, you know, 15 years. I produce and direct for NOVA, and I've done a number of series for them. And I came up with this concept to tell really positive stories about shelter pets. Was really fortunate to get Halo Purely for Pets, which is co-owned by Ellen DeGeneres, as my sponsor. They really support shelters and rescues. And we've been making the series now for about a year and a half, and they're presented as specials to PBS. It's a national show, and our fourth episode is premiering on September 15th across the country.
Have you met Ellen?
I have.
What's she like?
Well, you know, she's very gracious. She's very cool, and the thing is, she loves animals so much that we just immediately start talking about animals. So it's pretty amazing.
Do animals love her? It seems like they do on the show.
Well, they do. Look, she's been really great for animals. I mean, she's a big believer in adoptions and the shelters. So she's just been unbelievably supportive and just, you know, you couldn't ask for a person that more committed to helping the animals.
You know, we were talking about training a little bit there, and sometimes people think that getting a puppy will be easier than it actually is. But you can get a puppy at a shelter as well. You guys have puppies and kittens and all sorts of animals available, any age, any type, any size, any breed. You can go online and figure out what shelter's got it. So there's really, it's almost no running around. If the pet's from out of town and you really want that pet, they'll get it to you. So it's really easy to get a really good pet through the shelters nowadays. But in your case, what you're doing with this TV show, it seems to me like you're trying to change the shelters, right? A little bit of an upgrade?
Well, so we are. But part of it is really to reemphasize, you know, the good parts about the shelter and to kind of combat these stigmas. I mean, I like to say that Shelter Me is the antidote to the Sarah McLachlan commercial. Because, you know, you see these, you know, those commercials that are really sad and kind of, you know, tell people about, you know, look at these poor charity cases.
Oh, you can hardly watch till the end because it's just tearjerker after tearjerker and poor, pathetic, beaten up pet, and the music is playing, and you just, and I think sometimes that heaviness is what keeps people away from the shelters.
Well, exactly. So these are some of the stories. And we've been very fortunate to have amazing celebrities host our episodes. You know, we've had Katherine Heigl, we've had Jane Lynch, we've had Edie Falco. And these are all people who've adopted from the shelter. They're people who believe.
Nice.
Yeah, and they know, you know, the importance of these animals, and they know the importance about people getting involved with their local shelters. So here are some stories that we've covered in our series. You know, we covered a piece on war veterans that are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who have PTSD, and what happens when they get paired up with a shelter dog, how their lives improve, and how they're able to go outside and feel safe. And these are stories that are replicated across the country, and it all is driven back to the shelter. You know, these are veterans that are in need. These are dogs that were in need. When you combine them together, they really look out for each other, and it starts telling the story of the shelters about these extraordinary animals that are there, that are waiting for you, me, for your listeners to get involved. You know, we did an amazing piece on these dogs that are just really toy obsessed. They just love toys. They can't stop playing with toys. Those dogs happen to be perfect for training for search and rescue. So we did a whole story on how those dogs get pulled from the shelter, get the proper training, and are given to first responders across the country to keep our country safer. So whether you're in an area where there's a tornado or hurricane.
What you're describing rings true for me, because years and years ago, I used to recruit dogs from my pool of unwanted dogs that no one could train. I would go around and look for them at shelters. And if I could find a fetch obsessed dog, a dog who just would not leave the ball, then I had a candidate for the corrections, for sniffing the prisoners and making sure they didn't have anything concealed like weapons or drugs. So yeah, I get you. Those dogs, they may be a problem in your home, but there's a right place somewhere. And another dog who was a rescue from the Vancouver Pound, and he was really awful. When they carried him in, they had to use hockey sticks because no one wanted to get close to the kennel. I mean, really dangerous dog. And it took a long time. I had to train him a long time. But in the end, he went and guarded world figure skaters at this huge competition they were having. And, you know, he made an awesome guard dog once trained up. So there's a lot of dogs in the shelters that would just be perfect for you. Maybe the match they had before wasn't right. You know, maybe the person didn't think it through and got the dog when they really didn't have permanent residence somewhere, didn't own their own home, or maybe they were counting on their parents helping out, or, you know, the teenager that loved the dog grew up and moved out and the parents didn't want it anymore. It's divorce is often a cause. I see the best dogs orphaned by divorce. And you know what? They didn't cause the marriage breakdown. It's not their fault. So they can be happy in your home and make your family happy. I'm so glad we're highlighting these great dogs.
Well, you know, what you just said is really important because, you know, I always look at an animal in the shelter is that, you know, they were failed by people. And what happens now is I think of them as just temporarily homeless. So it's really incumbent upon us to help them out, because by being a victim of circumstance where, you know, somebody wasn't able to keep that pet in their home, we just need to connect people to make sure that they're not staying away from the shelter or having these fears of the shelter. Because a lot of people, you know, you hear the same things over and over. Oh, I can't go to the shelter because it might be too sad.
It's too upsetting, they say. And I don't think these people have been in a shelter in the last 20 years, because you go in there and there's petting rooms and cuddle rooms and exploration, this and that. And I mean, it's actually really quite fun. There's a Boy Scout troop locally here that's their volunteer project. They spend a lot of time at the local cat shelter. You know, like this is fun for kids. It's not sad. It's actually making a happy difference, right?
Absolutely. People are having their birthday parties at the shelter to play with animals. I mean, so the whole idea here is, you know, we need to start shifting our thinking to have shelters be thought as the town square. These shelters aren't going anywhere. They're taxpayer-funded organizations. So we need to embrace them and celebrate them. And that's what we're really about at ShelterMe is trying to be that marketing arm of shelters so they can realize that they need to engage their communities more to come in, because there's lots of ways to get involved with your shelter besides adopting. You know, you can foster an animal. A lot of shelters need the very basic essentials such as blankets and newspapers and towels, things to clean the kennels, toys, cleaning supplies.
Oh, yeah, or office supplies or drivers. But before we get to all that, we'll come back to that in the next segment. We've got to go to break, Stephen, so I hope you can stay tuned with me and we'll keep telling the people about ShelterMe.com and ShelterMe TV. And dogs and cats and how you can make a difference and how you can have fun doing it or just watch the show. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's Deb Wolf, your host, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry.
your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
You're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're talking about shelters. And there's a few things I've had to rush you through, Stephen, so we could get to breaks. So I'm just going to come back to a few of those. You wanted to tell us that it's not just dogs and cats. So, okay, Stephen, we've got the time now.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you go to a shelter and you can see all kinds of animals. I mean, yes, dogs and cats are the most prevalent, but there are a lot of rabbits. There are reptiles, you know, there are, you know, guinea pigs. There's all kinds of animals that the shelter takes in. Again, these are these public shelters. In some of the more rural areas, you'll see some farm animals. You'll see horses.
Oh, yeah, horses, goats, sheep, chickens. And when there's something really good, they have to do a raffle. There's so many people who want the horse, the chickens. And this is something I want to bring up. Even though people think shelters are sad, far sadder is the people who just leave their animal behind. Their house was foreclosed. They leave the cat inside and they leave and the cat starves to death. And this is happening a lot. So please, if you're in a situation like that and you have to give up your animal and you're worried, oh, but there's a, you know, there's a fee they charge, they're not going to charge you the fee. The fee is there for people who are apprehending pets and have the means. If you don't have the means, you can put your pet in a safe shelter where it'll have food, it'll have water, and it'll be seen by potential people, rather than just let it out the front door to go get hit by traffic. So please don't think your pet can survive without people once they've been domesticated and learned to rely on you. Your cat's not going to do very well outside. It's going to be coyote food, and that's just not fair. So I don't know if you've got something to say about that one, Stephen.
Well, you know, I mean, I appreciate you saying that because, you know, if people can't, you know, take care of the animals and they have to, they've already looked at, you know, if there are any friends who could help them out. If, you know, it's, you know, what we're seeing a lot is, you know, programs starting at shelters, they're called like retention or intervention programs that are basically just have a conversation with the public to say, you know, is there anything that we can do to keep you and your pet together? I mean, is it, if you're on a fixed income and it's at the end of the month, can we, if we provide food to you, is there ways that we can bridge it? But if you have to make that difficult decision, you know, you shouldn't feel embarrassed or guilty. If you have to do it, you have to do it. And you know, by all means, you know, these pets are dependent on us. So, you know, at the very least, do no harm. You know, don't just let the animal go,
exactly,
or don't just leave it behind in a house to, if your home is foreclosed on where the animal is going to starve, like you were saying. But, you know, at least let somebody else try to help your pet. So the only thing I can say is, you know, these animals depend on us. And if you have to make that tough, tough decision, don't be cruel to the animal. You know, don't hurt the animal. Just try to do the next best thing, which is let the shelters try to help you find a home for your pet.
Well, and I love what you said about the cost of things, because sometimes people do not want to give up this pet, but it has diabetes. It needs 2 injections a day. It costs a fortune. Okay, maybe it does cost a fortune when you buy it from your own vet, but maybe the shelter gets a group price. Maybe there's a way that you just cut your bill in half and now you can keep your dog. It can be as simple as that. Or maybe you're giving up your pet because you don't have a car. You need lifts for certain things for the dog or the cat. Maybe there's a driver in the neighborhood. Like, it can be a community resource, I think you're trying to say.
Well, I think we have to get into, it's okay to ask for help, right? I mean, raise your hand, ask for help. I mean, if you're having these challenges, you know, not to suffer alone. So, because again, you know, it's the pet's health, the pet's safety, and there are resources out there. Again, whether they are community food banks or whether there are discount medical services, it starts with a conversation. So people need to speak up if they're in a challenging situation, because you know, pets are family. You know, that's why we're having this conversation today. I mean, we love animals, and we want the best for them. So I really do think it's a responsibility for us to do the best we can to look out for them.
So that's the angle of people who need help caring for their pets. But now we've got the other angle, and we were getting to it right as break came on us, so I had to cut you off, about the things that the shelters need. Because maybe you don't have time, maybe you don't have money, but maybe you got a warehouse of old office supplies you're not using and never will use. Maybe you switched your computers and you don't need this kind of paper anymore, or you don't use those cleaners anymore, or, you know, there could be all kinds of reasons why you've got something they need. How do people figure out what they can offer?
So the most important thing, again, is for people to go to their shelter and just ask what supplies do you need? In fact, it's funny we're having this conversation. I literally did this to two shelters in the Los Angeles area recently. And it's not always a one-size-fits-all. Different shelters need different things. I was able to organize a food donation to several shelters that were running a little low on food. Some shelters are fine with food, and what they need is, I had one shelter said, you know, we really could use shampoo and grooming supplies. Yesterday I was at a shelter and they said, you know, what would be really great is if we had some kind of those harnesses to take dogs for walks, and if we had any extra leashes. So you nice. Just never know, but anything that you said, it could be cleaning supplies, it could be towels, it could be blankets, it could be newspapers, office supplies. Shelters need our help. They're working on very limited budgets, but the most important thing is to go to your shelter and ask specifically of what are the things that we can do to support our local shelter.
The other thing you touched on earlier in the program, but we didn't get time to flesh it out, was sometimes shelters have an animal that needs just a temporary spot. Usually, often, it's a mother. It's a mother with her young. And they don't necessarily want her in a kennel in the environment where the babies who aren't vaccinated yet could be at risk for things. So they need someone who's willing to take a mama cat and her kittens for 2 months, or a mama dog and her puppies for 3 months, something like that. And the puppies are so small, they're not even running around. Like that, it's especially if it's kittens. I mean, it's basically a box and a little bit of tidying, and you get to see baby kittens, you know? And you don't have to feel bad when you hand them back. They're probably all spoken for already. So there's ways you can get involved in like that, where if you think you travel too much, or you're a little bit elderly and you don't know if you've got 10 or 20 years to give a pet, what about 6 months? What about 2 months, right?
Well, fostering in general is something a lot of people don't realize is even available. So certainly helping out, you know, doing some bottle feeding for kittens and helping alleviate some of that pressure where we need to kind of keep an eye out for, you know, young puppies or young kittens. And fostering is providing a temporary home where you take them out of the shelter environment and you nurture them, you give them, comfort in a home and safety. And then you work with the shelter and outside groups to find them homes. And like you were saying with kittens and puppies, I mean, if you help feed them, take care of them, those animals get adopted so quickly. So it's really a nice resource where you, again, aren't making a lifelong commitment, but you're being a real important tool for the shelters to really be an extra hand, and they need it because, you know, they're understaffed. They always need volunteers, always need people helping. But I'm fostering right now. I've got actually this beautiful little pit bull that I'm fostering, and her time was up at the shelter, and I fell in love with her. So now she's living in my home, and I'm providing her a temporary home while I'm looking for a really good home for her. Anybody can foster. You just need to go to your shelter and just ask and have that conversation with them.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful thing. And I think a lot of times fosters end up keeping the pet or end up with relationships for life with the people that they pass the pet on to. So it's not, you know, it's give and give and give, really. There's no take in this.
No, it's one of the most selfless things you can do. It is beautiful because, again, you know, and this is where, again, where people might say, well, I don't want to foster because I might fall in love with the pet. Or, you know, if you keep the pet or not, you know, there is a big difference between crying tears of joy and crying tears of despair. So when you've fostered a pet and then you've give, you know, you get a great home for that pet, yeah, you should cry because, you know, these animals are awesome. They're part of our lives, but you were responsible for saving that animal's life. And once you've been able to foster and you found a home for that pet, you can go back to the shelter and do it again. And it really fits into people's lifestyles where they would rather be that sort of middle person to help save animals and give them a nurturing environment. And it's just an awesome thing to do. I've been doing it for years. I love fostering.
And it allows you freedom. You know, once your pet's adopted, you can go on a big long trip. You can do whatever. You can paint your house. And then when you're ready to do it again, okay, last time it was an Irish setter. This time, let's try a cat. You know, I mean, you can get a taste of owning every kind of dog in the world if you do this. And
yeah,
no
exactly.
Guilt about handing them back because they're going to great homes. So it can be something that really gives you good experiences and your kids too. Okay, so we only have 1 minute left in this segment. Next segment, I want to come back and talk about how people can set up a Shelter Me profile, what that's all about. And we'll talk about the show a little bit. So I'm talking with Stephen Latham, and it's ShelterMe.tv and ShelterMe.com. And he's sheltering animals. He's helping people and helping shelters help people. And the shelters really fill a gap that we need because we have more animals than we can possibly take care of. So we need to include them in our lives. We need to play with them and not think of them as horrible places because they're not. They're super fun now and clean and exciting. And if you watch the show, you'll see just how good it is. So stay tuned. We'll be back talking more about ShelterMe.tv and ShelterMe.com with Stephen Latham on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that
I really
do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426 and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf. And with me today is Stephen Latham. He's from ShelterMe.tv and ShelterMe.com. And you know what, Stephen, I was just thinking about how many people get a lizard and they're told, first they tell the person that's selling it to them what they want. I only want it to be 6 inches at full size. And then the person says, oh yeah, that's right. If you keep it in a small cage, it won't grow past 6 inches. That's a lie. And that animal is going to be in an abusive situation if it's kept in a small cage. And when it gets to be 12 inches or 4 feet or 8 feet or whatever the heck it gets to, it's going to end up at a shelter. But that's a very easy example. But it kind of highlights the difference about what some the difference in how someone experiences shopping for a pet when they go to a store or online or a breeder as opposed to a shelter. When you go to the shelter and you ask the question, how big will this grow? They tell you the truth. When you go to a shelter and you say, is this dog too active for my lifestyle? They tell you the truth because they don't want to see it back in a week. They really, really want you to keep it forever and be totally happy. And the money they're charging you, if they're charging you, is a token. It's not enough. It's nowhere near how much they've spent on this pet. So so really, they get nothing but wants for your happy match. And so that's, you know, you may not be able to tell. You may go in and pick the dog with the cutest spots on its face. But if it's a hyperactive Springer Spaniel, 2.5 years old, and you're a retired elderly person who walks with a cane, probably that's not your dog. Right? So they're going to make sure you pick one with freckles or spots that you think is cute that's maybe older or maybe bigger or smaller, but certainly not so active as a sporting retriever that wants to go get duck for you. So so the resource there for finding the right pet is huge, and they can get on their computer and find pets for you anywhere. If you're looking for something specific or they figure out, you know what you need? You need a lab cross about 2 years old, easygoing nature. Let's find one. And they'll get on and find one. And it's so good. So, okay. So, Stephen, how can people get involved? Is there a way they do a profile?
So part of the joy, again, the joy of the shelter is, you know, first of all, it is an amazing just deal. You get, you know, for a very inexpensive price, you get an animal that is fixed. They've got all their shots, their license, they're microchipped. I mean, it's just an awesome deal to get this amazing pet that you would be paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars elsewhere. So, you know, that's the other thing people don't realize is that there's these gems just sitting in the shelter that that is just, again, just an incredible economic bargain.
Well, if you buy a puppy and you want to give it its first three sets of vaccinations, not including rabies, just the basic vaccines, you're looking at $150, $50 each time over 3 months. Okay, so now add in rabies, that's about $50 right there. So now you're at $200. That's if you didn't get heartworm and you didn't get advantage and you didn't, okay, you just got the basic, right? For not even considering the risks in your area. That's over what most people are paying for this fully neutered, spayed, healthy, vaccinated animal. Right there, you've made your money.
I mean, that's the thing. You get the perfectly healthy pet walking out the door without, you know, any concerns. But the people there really do care. I mean, it's nice to hear you say that because this is what people don't realize. You go to the shelter, you have a conversation with the volunteers and the staff, and you go into the play yard and you spend time with an animal. You'll find out, you know, what, you know, the connection that you're going to have with this pet, and you can talk about your lifestyle, your energy level, how often you're going to walk your pet, and it really is. I mean, this is the part about being a responsible pet owner. It starts from which pet you choose to make sure it is right for your lifestyle. So that's my experience at the shelter.
You get to test drive them a little bit. You know, you're not looking at a tiny puppy the size of your hand trying to imagine what it would be like to walk it when it's 3 feet tall and 90 pounds. You're actually taking it for a walk and saying, you know what, I would like this walk to continue. Or maybe you take it for a walk and you think, oh my God, I want this to end. Well, that's not your dog. If you have to work up a sweat and you're struggling and you hate walking it, you just got your answer. If you just wish you didn't have to return it, you love it so much and you're having such a great time, bingo, that's your dog. And that's what you get to do at these shelters where you really can't when you buy a dog.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we provide a lot of tools to activate people because, I mean, the television show is really to raise the awareness and to tell these really good stories. And, you know, and then people are just like, they start watching the show and we hear that feedback all the time. Well, first of all, they'll say, thank you for just telling positive stories. You know, we really focus on the good because there's so much good going on. And we really do want to inspire people. But once we raise awareness, we want to provide the tools to turn that awareness to action. So one of our most important tools right now is a web platform, a mobile platform called ShelterMe.com. And it's a site that you can search across the country for shelter pets. So you can literally find your perfect pet. But it goes a step further, which is what has really been a powerful tool, which is it enables anybody to be able to make a profile. So it's an open platform, so you can go to the shelter, you can use your any kind of camera, your smartphone to take photos and video and make a profile of a shelter pet. So this is so important because it actually makes everybody feel like they're part of the solution. And it actually even engages people who might not have gone to the shelter in the first place because maybe they live in an apartment and they can't have a pet, or maybe they can't afford a pet, or maybe they already have too many pets and they can't have any more. Well, these are people who love animals, but they're not interacting with their shelter because they're like, well, what am I going to do? I don't have time to volunteer. I don't have any extra money to give. Why would I go to my shelter? Well, now you have...
They're the people with the skills. They're the people who can handle a scared cat. Exactly.
And they're the people who love animals, that we want them to be involved. They absolutely are the people that we want involved.
I know that there's something special coming up on episode 4, but I don't know what it is. What's going on with episode 4?
Oh, episode 4 is a good one. We're going to be posting our PBS schedule on ShelterMe.tv very soon, and we premiere in September 15th. But we've got two stories that are really indicative of what Shelter Me is about. Our first story is about transports, and it's about how do you do transports more responsibly and transparently, meaning how do you take animals from overcrowded shelters and move them to another part of the country that has space and has a need for animals to adopt them. So we actually filmed an organization. I'm working with two organizations called Wings of Rescue and the Bark Avenue Foundation, and we flew...
Wings of Rescue is the pilots, right?
That's right. So this is...
That's very cool. There's a trucker one like that too, you know. And
Have you heard about that one
where you sign up to drive, you agree to drive like one town over, and you go one town over and someone else agrees to that, and they carpool the dog or cat to the town it's supposed to end up in?
No, it's really awesome. I mean, this is what I love about the transports, is it's people coming together to help the animals. And the only thing that I really want to do, what we try to do with Shelter Me, is try to really show best practices to make sure that the animals are going to great places, that they're being adopted, that, you know, we report back the statistics for, you know, all the animals that got adopted, how quickly, because we don't want animals to be moved just for the sake of moving them, because we don't want animals to end up in hoarding situations. We don't want them to end up in abusive situations.
Yeah.
So we really want to show people that there is a way to do these responsibly. And the main thing about doing them responsibly is to make sure that the areas you're sending the animals, you're not displacing the local pet population.
Right.
We
have to go to one more break, and then we'll be back to talk more about not displacing the local populations, making sure the pets really do have homes in the areas you're sending them to, and maybe talk about pit bulls and how you have to send them where they're allowed from where they're not allowed. But we'll be back in a second. Stay tuned with Stephen Latham as my guest from ShelterMe.tv.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and
you know that I need
you. You're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, your host, Deb Wolf. And if you want to look at my dogs playing at Camp Good Dog, the boarding kennel I run, training, boarding, and we do some rescue too. If you want to look at us, you can go to Facebook, Camp Good Dog, and you'll see a bunch of puppies having a swimming lesson if you scroll down to that one. But you can see all kinds of stuff going on at Camp Good Dog. Lots of fun on the farm. And I'm also at DeborahWolfOnline.com. If you ever get a hankering for an old show and you want to type in your pet problem and find a show that matches it, I usually interview some pretty great experts, and they can give you expert advice. So today we're talking with Stephen Latham from ShelterMe.tv and ShelterMe.com and his new show on PBS. You know, I was on PBS once a long time ago.
How was that?
It was awesome. My show was called Doggin' It. And, you know, it sort of ties in with some of the things you're talking about, because it allowed me this peculiar relationship with a really big company that produced dog food. And I was able to get them to have their warehouse call me when they had giant bags of dog food that were very, very close to their expiry date, so they couldn't be sold. And instead of destroying them, I'd pick them up and take them to the shelters. And then it got so there were so many of them that I had to get someone to volunteer with a truck because I couldn't do it myself anymore. But Dog and It was my show, and it was on PBS for quite a while. It still airs in reruns on Sundays. But yeah, it's great to get the message out. So when can people catch your show?
So our first three episodes are in rotation right now on PBS, and they're airing in different times in different markets. But we post the broadcast schedule on ShelterMe.tv. The new episode, episode four, is premiering on September 15th, and it's a good one. You know, we've got two big stories, and we really think that these are going to inspire people to want to get involved with their local shelter.
You mentioned that you're fostering a pit bull. Do you have any adopted rescue dogs yourself that are yours forever?
So I have three of my own dogs that all came from the shelter, and I'm fostering right now. So I have four dogs that are with me, and I'm always fostering. So, you know, as soon as I find Sunday, it's her name, a little pit bull, a home, I'll be going to the shelter and getting another one. So I'm surrounded by shelter pets, and I always tell them that as much as they're members of my family and I love them, I'll do anything for them, I don't look at them any differently as the dogs that are in the shelter. They came from there, and that's why I'm working every day to find more homes for them.
Well, the thing about pit bulls and Rotties is there are so many places in the world where you're not allowed to have them. So this transportation network that you're setting up and taking advantage of with the wings, which is these pilots who know when they're flying empty and volunteer to take animals, that's awesome. And there's truckers doing the same thing, long-haul truckers who will sign up to take a pet with them, gives them company, and, you know, they're going to pay the gas anyway. They're going to drive anyway. Might as well take a couple of dogs in the cab with them or a cat in a box. And so these kinds of things are amazing. So how can people find out more about that? Are you profiling that on your show? And do they ever use these networks to get pit bulls out of anti-pit bull places and into places that have more reasonable laws?
Yeah, so we do. We absolutely, because we've been doing transports since we filmed the segment this year, because we flew 105 dogs from shelters in Southern California to shelters in Idaho, and all 105 dogs got adopted in 2 weeks. I mean, it was extraordinary.
Do you know what it is, though? Part, and maybe people don't understand this, but part of it is there's like a flow and demand. So, for example, here, there's not a lot of little dogs in shelters in Canada, not as many as in California. In California, every time one of those darn Chihuahua movies comes out, there's a Chihuahua invasion everywhere. And so if someone's looking for a tiny little Chihuahua in California, there's an awful lot of competition for that owner. Whereas up here, not so much. So some of it is just making the distribution more well-rounded so it fits the needs of the people who want dogs.
Well, and that's about doing it responsibly. I mean, so what we do is for any places, and we're right now, because I'm involved with these transports, you know, with Wings of Rescue and Bark Avenue Foundation, to really have those conversations with the receiving shelters. And this is all, this includes Canada. This includes the, you know, the Northwest of the U.S., where it's Washington and Oregon and Idaho and Wyoming, Montana. These are places that, again, they definitely have a shortage of small dogs, but when we do send animals, we always ask if they can take cats, and sometimes they can. We always ask, top of the list, if they can take pit bulls or senior cases or medical cases, because a lot of these smaller shelters, you know, have phenomenal orthopedic surgeons. So the answer is yes, we do send pitties, not as many as we'd like, because again, most places do want the smaller dogs, but we are, and we also ask if they'll take rabbits, because we really want to advocate for all shelter pets. But we are having these conversations about the shelters that are receiving them, about, because they know their community and they know what will be adopted there, and because we do not want to displace any of their existing pet population.
There's one aspect to shelters that I don't think we've really highlighted that I think we should, and it sort of deals with, it's kind of related to fostering in a way. It's that, you know, there are probably people listening today thinking, Well, me and my well-pampered pooch will never, ever need a shelter. This has nothing to do with me or my cat or my rabbits or whatever it is they have. They might think that they're just so removed from this state of need. Well, that's what the people thought in New Orleans before the flood came in. Sometimes you just don't know. When the fires hit what we call our Okanagan region, which is sort of like what California goes through every year, we had these horrible, horrible fires over 10 years ago. And I mean, there were people cut off. They couldn't get back to their homes. There were other people rescuing pets. There were pets in make-do shelters, part-time shelters. A lot of those pets took months to be reunited with their owners. They were. But that's because there were shelters, right? So sometimes this ebb and flow and moving pets around is actually, we got a lot of Katrina dogs up here, for example, from New Orleans to Vancouver, Canada, to find homes. So
yeah,
you know,
well, there's no question. I mean, a lot of people, again, they don't realize, you know, what sometimes the purpose and the need of the shelters. So even though a lot of shelters, especially in urban areas, are completely full, that if your dog gets loose, it jumps over the fence, you left the door open, or it got spooked because of fireworks, when that dog is picked up as a stray or by a neighbor, they get turned in at the local shelter. So you may just go, oh, I'm going to go pick up that, you know, my dog, it just got, you know, got out. Well, first of all, I hope everyone's microchipping their pets so, you know, they can be reunited with their families sooner. But you got to understand the pressure that that adds to the shelter. So they're already dealing with overcrowded situation. And then if people's pets get loose and they have to pick them up, these pets have to be put somewhere. You know, so there's only a certain amount of space at these shelters, which again comes back to our responsibility, our collective responsibility about what are we doing. Not to criticize the shelters, but what are we doing to help our shelters?
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We have run out of time. We only have a minute left. Is there anything you'd like to leave people with in the last minute?
Well, in the next episode, you're going to see an amazing story about playgroups, shelters that are actually getting animals playing together. And we had 15 pit bulls playing in the yard in Philadelphia and in Baltimore. And it's going to change the way you feel about this beautiful, beautiful breed. I love pit bulls, and they deserve better.
Me too. Judge the deed, not the breed, people. There's nothing wrong with a pit bull. Don't forget Little Rascals. Lovely dog. Okay, well, thank you for joining me today, Stephen. I wish you all the best with all this great work you're doing. Maybe we'll run into each other at a shelter someday.
I would love it, and thank you for caring for the animals. It means a lot.
Oh, you too. All right, everybody. So from me, Deb Wolf, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and all the shelter dogs and cats all over North America who've been hoping you were listening to today's show, be good to your animals. Until next week, from Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and me, Deb Wolf.
Ooh.